So with many other exhortations, he proclaimed the good news to the people. You brood of vipers, who told you to flee from the wrath to come? Even now the axe is lying at the root of the trees. How's that for some good news this Sunday morning in Advent? Where's our Advent banner that has wrath written on in anticipation of our God who is coming into this world? Is John the Baptist preparing for the same arrival of God that we are? We don't talk much these days about God's wrath. You know, we tend to focus on God's deep and abiding and faithful love for God's creation and for God's children. Or perhaps in times of grief or suffering, we'll point to instances in God's word that reveal how God is so likewise moved by our suffering and grieves with us. But wrath, I mean, why would we talk about wrath? You know, it seems that wrath is mainly something we hear about in the Old Testament. And maybe that's just because they didn't know about God the way we do now that we hear about Jesus. Or maybe you remember hearing vaguely at some point about how God's wrath was poured out on Jesus in the cross. And so isn't all that wrath stuff in the past? Well, I wonder, it seems to me that perhaps it's a bit bizarre to talk about God in such ways or to think about God in such ways that when we consider what the evils that yet still go on in this world, victims of abuse, children who die, you know, the lack of concern or empathy by people with power or authority, to talk about a God who doesn't feel anger or outrage at such things seems a little out of character with who we understand God to be as revealed by Jesus. Just remember that when people invite you to consider the question, what would Jesus do, that one of the acceptable answers is flipping tables and proclaiming the destruction of institutions or systems that are tied to the oppression of vulnerable people. And so our gospel reading from Luke this morning, I think, reminds us that the sweet infant lying in a humble manger is only part of the story of who our God is. You know, when our focus on Christ jumps from conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary directly to suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried, we may indeed maintain our focus on Jesus as our Savior and our Redeemer of eternal life, while completely missing the way that Jesus' life and teachings showed us how we are to live. Luke tells us that the crowd had gone out to John, who had received God's word in the wilderness. They've gathered to be cleansed and immersed in this new way of attending to God's way of being in the world. And John gives them some clear prescriptives. Share what you have with those in need. If your position in the world gives you authority, do not use it for personal advantage at the expense of others. Live a life according to God's will. Bear fruits that are worthy of repentance. And this idea of bearing fruit, you know, we'll see this language used by Jesus later in his own ministry, describing how the fruits that one produces in life reveals the character of one's heart. And this is not to say that someone whose life is characterized by perhaps lying or cheating or abuse or any other sin or evil that we might bring to mind, that such a person is not redeemable by God's grace. But it does name, I think, quite clearly that those actions are not in line with the lives that God desires us to be leading. And I wonder if that may bring us to our biggest departure in our own understanding of who God is and the message of good news that we hear in God's word from the message that John is proclaiming this morning. For though John warns the crowd that their religious heritage is not enough to ensure their place in the coming judgment. Our faith rests on the heritage that we receive through Christ. Joined in Jesus' death and resurrection, we are confident that the promise of God's new life for us does not depend on our own actions or inactions. We can speak of God's wrath without fear because of what Christ has done for us on our behalf. And our Christian understanding of our faith reminds us that the line separating the wheat from the chaff is not this divider that has good folks on one side and bad folks on the other side, but rather it is a line which runs through each of us. For we are all of us, both sinner and saint. But the good news is that God desires for each of us to be a part of the community of God, to be in proper relationship with God and with one another. And this means that God cares deeply about how we live, about how we speak and act towards one another. Now, as I've heard it said around here, the way that we love God by loving other people. And I think that our actions toward other people matter so much because of who God is. Because even as we might speak about God's wrath or God's grief, that these are emotions that spring forth from God's love and compassion for all people. And so when the Word of God tells us to care for people in need, it's because in their suffering, God also suffers. When the Word of God tells us to use our power and authority to work for the benefit of others, to not take advantage of them, it's because God desires for us to live in ways that protect all God's children, to care for people who are in vulnerable positions. And this is why again and again and again in Scripture we hear lifted up the importance of caring for the widow, the orphan, the refugee, to share the concerns of people who are hungry or poor or sick or imprisoned, because these are the children of God, our fellow siblings in the family of God. And God is aware of just how often the nature of the world is to push the needs of these folks aside. Although our justification with God does not hinge on our own actions, I have to say, there's something beautifully poetic in having our gospel reading talk about sharing coats during the same time of the year when all of our gifts were coming in for the giving tree, providing gloves and boots and other warm clothing for folks in these coming cold Wisconsin months. And certainly, here at Christ our Savior, we try to embody that calling to share food with those who are hungry. Through Bread of Healing and Community Banquet, Sussex Outreach Services, partnering with Cross Lutheran and Hepatha and Serenity Inn, our community continues to declare through our actions and our financial commitments and prayers that we know the importance of caring for those who are hungry in our midst. And yet all we have to do is take a quick glance at the news on TV or our newsfeed or a paper, or look to our own lives to know that both individually and as a community, there is yet room to grow more fully into who God is calling us to be. We don't have to look far to see the continued effects of injustice or corruption or apathy and their harm to others in our midst. And if you're like me, perhaps sometimes when your heart breaks for these situations that just seem too big for us to do anything about, too far beyond our scope to push at and bring about some kind of meaningful change, that perhaps in those times it is good for us to gather again, to hear the words that we hear from John the Baptist this morning, recalling that our God is one who comes with Holy Spirit and fire. transforming our lives, our relationships, our communities, changing the world around us, working through the words and actions of God's people to bring about communities that more closely reflect God's justice, God's welcome and hospitality, and the peace of God. For even though God's unity with the powerless is seen in God's entering into the world as an infant, and God's strength is revealed in Christ's love and forgiveness, even as he endured death on the cross, our gospel reminds us this in our time of waiting and anticipation, that the one who enters into our world that we prayerfully wait for is mighty, is coming with power to change lives and communities and all of creation. And that this is a promise not just for our communities, but for us, so that we might live justified and freed to bear good fruit, so that the kingdom of God might be experienced here and now, so all people might experience the love, the peace, and justice that characterizes our God. Amen.